Our assigned lectionary gospel lesson for this third Sunday in Advent is from Matthew 11, and for those of you who are observant, it is also found on page 11 in the New Testament. Now, when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was what he was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. As you have heard many times, one of the hallmarks of what is called progressive Christianity is the willingness to question the answers traditionally given by the church over the centuries. Understandings of church doctrine and biblical interpretations. And this is the starting point of the curriculum that we're now discussing in the adult church school class entitled Living the Questions, a guide and introduction to progressive Christianity. And in connection with this morning's gospel reading from Matthew 11, we are faced with one of the questions that many of us have asked, and some understandably are still somewhat fearful to ask. It's the very question that John the Baptist, while in prison, sent some of his own disciples to ask Jesus. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? Now, I don't know about you, but I find it somewhat reassuring to realize that someone as faithful as John the Baptist had doubts and uncertainties as to who this Jesus of Nazareth really was, even after his experience of baptizing Jesus. It's comforting because many, many people of faith today, and perhaps yourself, also struggle with doubts and uncertainties concerning Jesus, or perhaps more specifically when expressed as Jesus Christ. Now, during this Advent season, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas Day, it is especially important for you to reflect upon your own understanding of this person named Jesus. John the Baptist's own experience reminds us that none of us are immune from doubt. And unlike what some may teach or believe, doubt is not the same as unbelief. For the very experience of doubt often fuels our own search for understanding and our own quest to experience the sacred presence of God within us and around us in our midst. So here in our biblical story then, Jesus is faced with the question, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? It was very important to notice that Jesus did not come out and declare, "Yes, I am the Messiah, the one foretold by the prophets of old." Even though that is the traditional church answer, that's not Jesus' answer. Instead, he answers John's question in terms not of what someone should believe about him, but rather in relation to what people have heard and seen for themselves. Jesus replied, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." In other words, look at the evidence, see for yourself, and come to your own conclusion. And put most simply, according to Matthew, the person who would come as the Messiah would be a liberator. For many, however, Jesus just didn't fit their expectation of what a Messiah should be and do. And that includes John the Baptist. John himself had prophesied that the one who was coming would carry a winnowing fork in his hand to separate the wheat from the chaff. Yes, John the Baptist was a fire and brimstone apocalyptic kind of guy. So John looks and he listens, but he sees no fire and brimstone. No uprooting and destruction. No separating of the wheat from the chaff. Every indication is that John's wariness and doubt grow out of the fact that Jesus has not lived up to his expectations. Nor, for that matter, the expectations of Judaism at this point in history. What Jesus did then was to make it necessary for people to redefine their definition of a Messiah. Therefore, perhaps Jesus' greatest contribution to world religion was to redirect the understanding of the nature and character of God, presenting a God who is now more clearly seen as one of love, justice, forgiveness, grace, and transformation, as the one who promises to make all things new. And we too then must be careful not to insist that the Messiah, the Christ, meet and match our own expectations, but rather represent God's expectations. For we tend to anticipate and expect what we want out of a Lord and Savior, and not necessarily what God offers. And when we do, we sometimes miss the signs that could actually lead us to the freedom, transformation, and liberation that God, as understood through Jesus, offers. So Jesus tells us that the signs to recognize the presence and the work of God can be found anytime that you, I, or anyone else moves from despair to hope, from indifference to compassion, from ignorance to understanding. That presence can be found anytime we move into new life and new beginnings, to wellness and to emotional and spiritual wholeness. If you ever hear and see these kinds of things, and have not we all, then you have experienced the presence of God. You have witnessed the work of Christ. So John the Baptist's question is indeed the same question many of us are asking today. Is Jesus the one? Well, in seeking greater clarity to this all-important question, and especially at this time of year when we're preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus, I offer the following for you to consider if Jesus is the one. Through what we learn in Scripture about Jesus, is he the one through whom you most fully understand the nature and character of God? In other words, do you consider Jesus to be the decisive, but not necessarily the only, revelation of God and your window or door to the divine? And if so, does this understanding of God work to set you free, to become what God has created and called you to be? And to put it another way, does the life and ministries and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth represent to you the purposes of God, thus becoming the visible representation of the invisible will of God, and therefore ushering in the realm and kingdom of God in the here and now? Speaking personally, since I answer yes to these questions, I can affirm the vow that I took at my ordination and a vow that has been taken by all deacons, ruling elders, and ministers of the word and sacrament in the Presbyterian Church, and which all people are asked to affirm when becoming a member in our own denomination. Do you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I think that could almost be better rephrased as, is Jesus the one? Well, when I answer that question with integrity, yes, that is quite a different understanding than what traditional church orthodoxy dictates one must believe about Jesus when making that claim. So if making that claim has been a stumbling block for you to answer in the affirmative, then in all seriousness, perhaps it would be a good time for us to have a conversation. The answer Jesus himself gave to John the Baptist is indeed, therefore, the same answer for us today. What do you hear and see? Are there signs of new life, transformation and liberation breaking into our world of injustice and oppression? And are there signs breaking into the life of this community of faith and into your own life, the life of your family? And remember, of course, that we are still living in this in-between time between the now and the not yet. As you and I continue to prepare to celebrate the mystery and the joy of Christmas Day, then look at the evidence and come to your own conclusion. And like John the Baptist, all of us will have to respond on the basis of what each one of us hear and see. That reminds me of the hymn, "Open my eyes that I may see. Open my ears that I may hear." But wait, you ask. The title of this sermon is, "That's okay, I'll wait for another." Where did that come from? Well, if we take all the New Testament to heart, we learn that following Jesus is no joke. It isn't the easy way of wearing soft robes and being shaken by the wind. Those early disciples, as well as ourselves, may have preferred to keep waiting for another Messiah, maybe one that wouldn't challenge them and us quite so much. The disciples and we are being invited to a new reality. They and we have waited long enough, and now our waiting has revealed new ways of seeing and even navigating in our world. So now we must make a choice. Do we follow Christ into this new reality? Or would we rather wait for something less demanding than the way of Jesus? A Presbyterian pastor, the Reverend Bruce Reyes Chow, reflects, "As I think about these things myself, I wonder if sometimes my self-care can turn into an idolization of that which is easy and comfortable. Self-care is vital, but we must take care that we do not put so much stock in comfortable things that we fail to see the disruptive nature of Christ's acts in the world." Again, this is not a call to burnout or to overfunctioning, but rather a challenge to find ways to remain open to the ways that Jesus walks into our lives, lets us know about ways that God is active in the world, and calls us to follow in faith. So during this season of learning to wait well, ponder what it is you and we together as a community of faith are waiting for. Especially, what are we waiting for spiritually? How might we all be more open and ready to hear and see the ways Christ may be calling us to follow? Amen.